Hello, everybody. This is Paul Douglas Boyer. Welcome to the Mad Money Machine Show number 128. Here's another song from VersusPlus.com. Bearish.
Bearish is the word I use to define all the feeling I've incurred from each economic sign. The mass of a liquid asset overvaluation, the chance that the sickle fence finance us to stagflation, the hit from the deficit that's ticking decimation to this nation. I'm so bearish, you could call me boo-boo or poo. Prayerish and absurd, I characterize every tool of a bull too cool to analyze. Implications of an oil price that's double, the generations of the labor force in trouble, the devastations of a housing market bubble burst to rubble. I've a bearish, not laissez-faire-ish view. Oh, it is all but cliched, this bet is one we made by binging on money so cheap that we could lever up whatever, keep the whole heap. But with rates that leap, we're in deep with what we've sown, should have known what we'd reap. Fed's in the red to China, a very scary thought, not benign. A contrary monetary shot to redesign a new world in which Beijing's brought this way to say our rules of play may be for naught, and one day will be for. Bearish is the word I use to define all the feeling I've incurred from each economic sign. Like the manic panic screams of corporate indiscretion, the now volcanic steams of Middle East aggression, the messianic extremes with dreams of a refreshing Great Depression. I am bearish, and you should be bearish too. That's my true bearish view.
Bearish is the word. VersusPlus.com. Go check them out at their website. And also in the show notes, the show 128, I'll have a link to the YouTube video that they've put together, complete with lyrics, so that you can see exactly what they're singing about there in Bearish, parody of the song, of course, Cherish. Jim Cramer wasn't so bearish on July 30th of 2008, was he? That's when he called the bottom in the market. And by market, I'm going to assume he means the S&P 500. Well, on that day, the S&P 500 closed at 1284. Recently, it's been below 1200 for about a 10% drop since he called the bottom. Perhaps Jim Cramer should have listened to this song a little bit more. One favor I'd like to ask for you right at the beginning of the show. Nominations are underway right now at podcastawards.com. It looks like they're doing things a little bit differently this year than in prior years. It looks like that this year you only get to vote once. And whereas last year, they allowed people to vote every single day for the two-week period. And so I'm a little bit worried this year that I'm not going to have enough votes to get nominated in the best business podcast category. It's the only thing I really plead for, that I ask you for, to help me out. And so if you could do that one thing for me, one time, this entire year, I'd appreciate it. go to podcastawards.com and look about the third one down on the left. It says business. Type in Mad Money Machine. And then in the URL, type in madmoneymachine.com. Then you need to go to the bottom of the page, put in your name and email address, a comment if you like, and press submit. And you're done for the year. I thank you so much for helping me out in that way. The Mad Money Machine is brought to you by Index Funds Advisors. Check them out on the web at ifa.com. Index Funds Advisors, helping investors succeed by matching people with portfolios. Now, on the last show, show 127, I played a song that I made up, a parody of Johnny Cash's Folsom Prison Blues called Debtor's Prison Blues. And what I didn't tell you is I actually made a YouTube video with the lyrics and some images that go along with it that you can check out on YouTube. Just go to the show notes of show 128 and find the link to it, or just go to YouTube and type in Debtor's Prison Blues and you can play that video and pass the link along to your friends. Let's get the hit count up on that fun song. Also got this call on the Madman Machine voicemail line, 206-734-4763.
Hey there, this is John from Omaha. Have to say that I was very impressed to hear Debtor's Prison Blues played on Adam Curry's Daily Source Code. You are now the financial savant and the Weird Al Yankovic of the Mad Money. Anyway, I thought it was great to hear that, and I see it up there in the PMN. Let's get that song out there, and see ya.
Yeah, thanks, John from Omaha, for calling that into the voicemail line. I was pleased to hear that on Adam Curry's show. And Adam Curry's show's really taken a turn recently, hasn't it? I mean, he has gone through this awakening process that I did a couple of, three or four shows ago. I had a show called The Awakening, and he is on the same page regarding The Awakening, and he is trying to educate all of his listeners to wake up and figure out what's going on around us. You know, I think with the internet, it's just exponential learning that we're able to connect all these bits of information, all these pieces of this huge puzzle, and the picture is coming into place. I think we're learning what is going on. Let's spread the word, everybody. Let's wake everybody up. Been reading LouRockwell.com, a website I highly recommend. It helps retrain your brain to think of things in a new way. And it's always good, as Plato once said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Or was it Socrates? Maybe Plato recorded the fact that Socrates said it. Whatever. The unexamined life is not worth living. And reading LouRockwell.com helps you re-examine life. And because it frames things so differently than the way everyone else frames something. In other words, they talk about situations in a completely different light. For example, traffic tickets. Article posted there on September 9th entitled, Officer Kanapsky, is it? By Jeffrey A. Tucker from the Mises Institute. Sheds some light on why do traffic cops sit there and ticket everyone going 5 miles an hour through a stop sign? Is it really to help society to reduce and penalize these people doing this horrible crime of going 5 miles an hour through an intersection? Well, it turns out there's something else to consider, and that is that police officers, at least in this area that he's talking about, when they go to court, they receive overtime for being in court. And so they are just hoping that the people who they issue tickets to will, in fact, go to court to try to beat the ticket so that the police officer can stand there in the back of the courtroom and earn overtime. And this is a case where examining the economics of a system really helps pinpoint its flaws. You've seen these Schwab commercials where they have sort of the animated person talking. It looks a whole lot like a real person talking with the the way the light falls on their face, but it has a very highly animated quality to their face. You know what I'm? You know the commercials I'm talking about? A lot of realistic facial features. Their eyes flicker. Their eyebrows go up as you're watching them. Their head's moving back and forth. They're looking in different directions and things. Well, this is a technique called rotoscoping, and there have been a couple of movies out that are entirely rotoscoped. I don't necessarily recommend watching them. But these commercials, what they do, they actually film a real person, and then they go back and painstakingly, I guess, or maybe with computers, they take each photographed frame of that person, and they draw, they animate over top of that person, over top of that person's picture, the animated image, and so they know where the eyes are looking, and they know where the eyebrows are, and they're basically animating exactly what the photograph looks like. And but the funny thing is, if you look at these Schwab commercials and you squint your eyes, I mean really tight, so you can just barely see through your eyelashes, that commercial goes back to looking like a real person. Yeah, you filter out all of the animation detail, and it's funny and it's weird because it looks like it's a regular photographed image of a person. Try it next time you see one of these Schwab commercials. So the S&P 500 index. How many stocks are in that index, by the way? 500. Exactly. Yeah, but what about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? Those were both in the S&P 500 index. Well, on September 12th, they were replaced by Salesforce.com and Fastenal, F-A-S-T is the ticker symbol there. So for a couple of days there, between the removal of Fannie and Freddie and the inclusion of these two new stocks, there were only 498 stocks in the S&P 500. Well, apparently it takes a market capitalization, a company size of $5 billion to be included in the S&P 500 index. And Fannie Mae had a market cap of only $1 billion and Freddie about a half a billion. Well, there are also three other stocks in the S&P 500 that have lower market caps than Fannie Mae. Why are they still in the index? Ticker symbols CIEN, DDS, and MTG. Is the S&P expecting them to go up 500% in the coming days? In fact, if the S&P were to strictly enforce its $5 billion threshold for inclusion in the S&P 500, there would be 119 companies that are currently in the index that would have to be booted, making it the S&P 381. From an article at bespokeinvest.typepad.com. One of the strangest things about professional soccer, I think, is they wear advertisements on the front of their jerseys, and you don't really see the name of the team on the jerseys. You know, you look at a team like Manchester United, and they have that big symbol on the front of their jerseys. It's AIG. Well, how much longer is Manchester United going to have AIG on the front of their jerseys now that AIG's in big, big trouble? Are they going to afford the $14 million a year they give to the Manchester United for the privilege of placing their initials on Manchester United jersey? And there's another professional team over there in merry old England, West Ham United. They were sponsored by XL Leisure Group, which is a travel company. XL Leisure Group, of course, went bankrupt. And I suppose West Ham United is going to be having something else recognizable on the front of their jerseys now. What if they did this in baseball? What if they had McDonald's logo, big golden arch on the front of a Yankees uniform? So there are roughly 25,000 workers at Lehman Brothers and roughly 60,000 at Merrill Lynch, and they face a double whammy. Many will lose their jobs, and the company's plunging share prices likely will wipe out much of their net worth. At Lehman, stock and options could make up as much as 60% of an executive's pay and share awards vested over 5 years. For most employees, stock and options were about 40% of pay with the same vesting schedule. Folks, you've got to examine your 401k plans and see how much of your net worth by percentage is invested in the stock, the single one stock of the company that you work for, and you absolutely have to trade it out and get into an index fund. Here's a little quiz for you. What is the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution? You know, the first 10 amendments are part of what they call the Bill of Rights. The 10th Amendment is one sentence long. What does it say? I cannot remember in all my public schooling and all my college schooling and all my postgraduate schooling. Of course, I went to engineering school, but I can't remember being taught the Constitution. So I guess I'm trying to make up for that fact by helping you, if you don't know it, if you went to the same kind of schools that I went to. But I've just become aware that in public schools, government schools these days, on September 17th, last Wednesday, Constitution Day, Thomas Woods defines Constitution Day thusly. It's observed on September 17th, the day on which federally funded American educational institutions, themselves unconstitutional, are unconstitutionally required to teach about the Constitution. Anyway, on to the 10th Amendment. The 10th Amendment says, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. Well, all of the other 9 amendments in the Bill of Rights refer basically to the rights of individuals, but this 10th Amendment protects the powers, not rights, and of the states, not individuals. The states wanted an amendment to be added that affirmed their ongoing role in the governmental design. So federalism is a system of shared power between national and state governments. States' rights refers to the doctrine that the states have sovereign powers equal to the national government. And nationalism is the supremacy of the federal government over the states. Do you think the federal government has any powers not delegated by the Constitution? I'm Paul Douglas Boyer, and that's your Constitutional Minute. Let's pull something out of the Mad Money Machine tool crib. Well, here's a handy little thing if you're trying to learn more about the Constitution. And if you've got an iPhone, go into the App Store, either in iTunes or on your iPhone, and type in the word Constitution as you're searching for applications. In there, you'll find an application called Constitution for iPhone and iPod Touch. This is a free application for your iPhone or iPod Touch that has a copy of the United States Constitution and the 27 Amendments right there for easy access for you to read. All you do is install it, run the application. Up comes an outline of the Constitution. You can click on any of the articles or any of the amendments. For example, I click on Amendment 1 through X, I through X, and I scroll all the way down, and there I read Amendment X, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. The Constitution on your iPhone. Like other tools I've given you so far, this one's free. And speaking of the iPhone, who said there aren't any ideas left in technology? I saw something from, I think, Forbes magazine. They were talking about X-ray vision for your iPhone being developed in Japan called Sekai Camera. Basically, what you do is you turn on your iPhone with this application. You're looking through the camera's lens. Let's say you're looking down the street at a number of storefronts on the street. You'll see the image on your iPhone of all of these stores. Ah, but this application then goes out to the internet, overlays on top of what you are looking at the moment, little tags of data, little words, little pointers, little symbols that give you more information about what is displayed on the screen. So, for example, let's say you hold your iPhone up in front of a restaurant. You might have a link there to read reviews about the restaurant that you're looking at. This is virtual reality. It's X-ray vision. It's heads-up display. And it's coming to an iPhone near you within the next 10 years. I've only ever done 4 interviews with people on the Mad Money Machine. Mark Hebner, of course, of Index Funds Advisors. Russ Roberts of Econ Talk. Henry Blodgett, who wrote a book on index investing. And Dan Solon, who then subsequently went to work as an advisor with Index Funds Advisors. That was right after he published the book called The Smartest Investment Book You'll Ever Read. Well, he has a new smart book out now, called The Smartest 401k Book You'll Ever Read. And I've got a copy of this. This is the second book so far that I've purchased for my Amazon Kindle. You'd think, well, what a waste the Kindle must be for you. No, I use it as a PDF reader. And there's a lot of things I read on the Kindle that are free. And I kind of read a lot of the sample chapters from various books and things on the Kindle. I guess I'm just too cheap. I get a lot of books out of the library, folks. But I decided to buy this one. The Smartest 401k Book You'll Ever Read. And why did I purchase this book? Because I want to convey its information to you in the Learning Earning segment brought to you by Index Funds Advisors. Learning Earning, where we learn how to earn our financial freedom. Now, the bottom line, if I could just get to the, if I can just spoil the book for you, right? This is spoiler alerts. The bottom line is there's a whole lot of folks that are getting ripped off in their 401k plans. They're not going to have as much in retirement as they think they should or as they actually should, because the financial institutions that are handling their money for them are just taking too much of the pie. Well, in the very first chapters, Dan Solon explains why it's important to think about the slice of pie that they're taking away from you. You know, if you look at your statements, if you could figure out how much they're taking, that's the first hard thing to get through. If you could figure it out and you see that they're taking 2% a year from your retirement nest egg, you might think, 2%, no big deal. Well, check this out. He's got an example in here. He says a young college graduate begins investing $200 a month in mutual funds until she retires 40 years later. Now, this is a hypothetical example where she earns an 8% annual return before expenses on the money, and her mutual fund of choice charges her the 2% annually in expenses for all those many years. At the end of the line, she walks away with $400,290. Hey, pretty good after only just $200 a month, right? $400,290. And Dan says that may look respectable, but check out what she would have earned if she had put the cash in a mutual fund at a fraction of the cost, let's say 0.3%, an expense ratio that is similar to what is charged by many index mutual funds. If she'd done that and obtained the same returns, which is likely, her account would be worth $644,484. Yet, if someone tried to sell the typical investor a mutual fund that costs 2% of the investment versus 0.3%, most people would consider the difference to be about as inconsequential as the change you get back from a McDonald's Happy Meal. But it is not inconsequential. That small percentage difference can make a huge impact on your retirement savings, as Dan Solon has shown. And later in the book, he'll describe where all these hidden fees are coming from in your 401k plan. Folks, get a copy of this book, The Smartest 401k Book You'll Ever Read. $20 of the book cost on Amazon could sure change your account balance at retirement. Learning Earning, brought to you by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. With experts like Dan Solon and Mark Hebner, using a scientific approach to investing, they can help you manage your financial freedom. Please go out to IFA.com, contact them, set up an account. In fact, roll out of your 401k plan when you leave your employer and roll in to an IRA with Index Funds Advisors. I mentioned briefly there that Russ Roberts was one of the people I had interviewed about a year ago on the Mad Money Machine. He does the podcast, the one podcast I love best among all podcasts, and that is Econ Talk. And there was an Econ Talk a couple or three shows ago talking to an author who had looked in detail at the new and upcoming Chevrolet electric car called the Chevy Volt. Fascinating discussion about this electric car coming up. I think it's worth a listen. Go download Econ Talk and put it on your MP3 player. Let's play around with the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I have to place donuts on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble. And for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Money Machine Show 128 is... Oh my goodness. This is just too coincidental. I've been talking about him so much, and here he comes up on the roulette wheel. Ladies and gentlemen, our guru this time is Lou Rockwell. Yes, Lou Rockwell. Llewellyn Rockwell has the blog, lourockwell.com. But he gave a speech, a talk, last week. And the talk has been transcribed into a document, which I have in my hands, entitled... The Social Imperative of Sound Money. And he talks about this bailout of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, putting them under what's called now conservatorship. He says we don't use the word nationalize anymore, so we have to make up these new names. We don't call it bailout, we call it stabilization. He says without debate, without votes, without anything other than an executive fiat, the White House has just decided on its own to seize the mortgage market. Lou says this sort of thing makes a mockery of the Constitution and the very idea of freedom and the free market, to say nothing of the idea that we have a limited government. And what's more, if you can believe the press reports, President Bush had very little to do with the decision. It was the work of Henry Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury and former head of Goldman Sachs, working on behalf of the nation's most well-connected financial elites. Nobody elected this guy. Most Americans don't even know his name. And look at how he throws around trillions of dollars of our money. Fannie and Freddie, established basically under the New Deal, were founded to speed up home ownership process for people that banks would otherwise consider unqualified. What part of government could be against this notion? The left favored redistribution, the right favored the supposed moral virtue associated with the nuclear family and its suburban abode. But the real point about this whole bailout is that the free market judgment about who should get what was being overridden. And the fact is that we're paying for this mistake a half century after the policy became a national priority. Letting the companies, these organizations, fail was not even considered. Instead, they spread the costs of the error over the entire population, underscoring the principle that America will not tolerate failure in business. He says that it's interesting, isn't it, that all these people believe that waving the magic money wand can make reality just go away. He says, let us address this claim that not bailing out the system and not nationalizing the mortgage market would lead to a financial meltdown, a thermite collapse, you might say, on the level of the Great Depression. People talk as if the Depression were some sort of natural disaster that the government had to fight. In fact, it was the very fighting of the Depression that deepened it and caused it to last all the way through World War II. We have to understand that if we are to understand the real lesson of the Depression. Instead of letting prices fall and letting the bad investments wash out of the system, the government tried for years and years to keep prices high, employ people in make-work programs, and generally, centrally plan the economy. What should have happened in 1929 is precisely what should happen now. The government should completely remove itself and let the market reevaluate resource values. That means bankruptcies, yes. That means for bank closures, yes. But that's part of the capitalistic system. Lou says, let me state this plainly. I do not believe for one second that if the government fails to nationalize Freddie and Fannie, that the world as we know it will come to an end. I'd expect about 18 months of difficulties, but I guarantee that if we had leaders who had courage, who understood economics, who could think about the long run, we would let the market handle the entire process. I guarantee this solution is a better one than creating another trillion or so to bail out failing enterprises. And yet, this is not just another longing for courageous leaders. We can't hope for that. We need a guarantee. We need a system that would make it impossible for government to do these things, even if it wants to. Well, there is a system like that, and it's called sound money. Think about the preconditions that made it possible for the Bush administration to decide one evening to dump a trillion plus to guarantee 3/4 of the home mortgages in this country. It's a system that is premised on the government's capacity to print unlimited amounts of money. If it could not do that, no one would be talking about conservatorship. No one would be talking about guaranteeing the liabilities of the automotive industry either. Or wars, or troops in 100-plus countries, these wouldn't be issues. If government had to tax people directly for all its spending priorities, we would see Washington's ambitions in every area scaled back dramatically. Every suggestion of a new program would be met with the demand as to how it would be funded. Just like city and state funding, by the way, right now, right? Fiat money with central banking, on the other hand, tempts corrupt politicians and bureaucrats, and it also further corrupts them. It is the great occasion of sin of our public life, and we've seen the corruption grow worse over time. In truth, all these bills must be paid. To realize that is to realize the necessity of radical reform. It can be overwhelming to contemplate the glorious results of a full gold standard reform. Inflation would stop eating away our purchase power. The business cycle would be tamed. International trade would not be disrupted by wild swings in currency values. But all of these benefits, of all of these benefits, this one is greatest. It would stop arbitrary rule dead in its tracks. It would force the government to curb its ways. It would shore up our freedoms. For this reason, the policy of sound money is very much linked with morality. If we understand that freedom is inseparable from sound money, we can embrace that too. Until then, we will continue to place our trust in the political establishment to do what is right. Call me a gold bug if you will, but I trust hard money far more than our rulers. And that ultimately is the choice we must make. Congratulations, Lou Rockwell. You're the guru on Mad Money Machine, show 128. Well, Lou Rockwell did not use the phrase a thermite collapse, but it seems as if someone has set off a thermite explosion on these markets. Thermite is a pyrotechnic composition of aluminum powder and a metal oxide, which produces an aluminothermic reaction known as a thermite reaction. It's not explosive, but it can create short bursts of extremely high temperatures focused on a very small target for a short period of time. The aluminum reduces the oxide of another metal, most commonly iron oxide, because aluminum is highly combustible. The products are aluminum oxide, free metal iron, and a large amount of heat. It's used in things like thermite welding, and some thermite-like mixtures are used as pyrotechnic initiators, such as fireworks. And it burns hot. Thermite in the military, thermite hand grenades are used as incendiary devices to destroy enemy equipment quickly. So there's a video on YouTube called Thermite on Car. And I'm going to play a little bit for you.
It's been specially chosen to be destroyed because it's old, it's white, but more importantly, because it's French.
Picture of a car on the field.
The engine block is the densest part of a car. It's basically a huge lump of metal, and, well, it's very hard to melt. Lucky then, the Brainiacs have plenty of thermite, specially packed into the slow-release mechanism of a garden flower pot. A big pile on the bonnet directly over the engine block should do the trick. Time to light the fuse and give this homage to French engineering the send-off it so richly deserves. The irreversible thermite reaction begins.
Showers and sparks. Big showers and sparks. Flames. Liquid metal now dripping off the hood of the car.
Within seconds, the fiery concoction eats through the bonnet, spraying molten thermite into the engine beneath. The devastation continues inside until finally a torrent of white-hot liquid metal pours out of the bottom, signaling the inevitable victory for thermite. A quick check confirms a clear path of destruction through the engine.
I'll have a link to this in the show notes for this show. You can see it for yourself. It seems to me like last October 2007, someone put thermite on top of a chart of the S&P 500, and it has been molten lava, molten hot steel ever since that time. The market has just gone down, 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 like it's melting under the collapse of a thermite bomb. Eventually, the thermite has to run out. We have to hit bottom at some point. I wish I knew when that was, don't you? For those of you who are still in the accumulation phase of your wealth, well, congratulations, I have to say it once again. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Congratulations, stocks are going on sale for you. You get to buy them a whole lot cheaper these days. If you're dollar cost averaging into the market, fantastic for you. Stocks are cheaper now. If you're still earning money that you're dumping into investments, congratulations. Over the long term, you are going to do so very well. Oh, and one last little thing before I leave you. How about the new look to the Wall Street Journal website, WSJ.com? It's about time, isn't it? And they did away with that silly serif font, Times New Roman or whatever. Now they're using something more legible, Helvetica ripoff clone font. But it's easily read. It's more smooth on the eyes. It looks a whole lot modern. Congratulations, Wall Street Journal. Looks like you've done a pretty good job so far. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes a thermite collapse to make a mad money machine. I'll see you next Friday, September the 26th. September 26th is when I'll see you again. Would you do me a favor? Go to podcastawards.com, type in Mad Money Machine and madmoneymachine.com in the business category. Put your name and email address and submit the form to vote for the Mad Money Machine as Best Business Podcast. I thank you so very much for doing that for me. The Mad Money Machine is brought to you by Index Funds Advisors. Check them out on the web at ifa.com. And do get a copy of the book if you don't have it. If you don't have it, I can't believe you don't have it. It's by Mark Hebner. It's called Index Funds, the 12-Step Program for Active Investors. My goodness, with the market down under this thermite collapse, you really need to study about how to invest the right way. This is your opportunity. We've talked about tax loss harvesting, right? The things to sell. Now that you've sold all that junk, get into the good stuff for the long term. This is your chance. Do it right. Do it right right now. Some music on this program provided by music.podshow.com. I would appreciate your feedback. Emailed to me at feedback@madmoneymachine.com or call the voicemail line 206-734-4763. See me on Twitter, twitter.com/madmoneymachine, or go to the website madmoneymachine.com. And by the way, don't forget to look up that video on YouTube of Debtor's Prison Blues. Send a link to all your friends and have them get the hit count up. I'll see you next Friday. Stay invested, as always, in these and every risky market. Because risk is the source of returns.